As I mentioned at the beginning, the Feast of the Holy Family is one of my favorite feast days because it really is so concrete and so relatable. We all come from families, every single one of us. The Feast of the Holy Family teaches us about the sanctity of human love. And we could forget about that. We can take it for granted. But human love is really sacred. Marriage is a sacrament because it is a sign and expression of God's love in the world, God's love which is personal and faithful and fruitful, as married love is. Marriage and family are very important vocations, very important. The fact that the incarnation, God becoming one of us, happened in the context of a human family says a lot about the sacredness of the human family. The family is where we learn how to love and how to share and give of ourselves and make sacrifices and resolve differences. The family is a place of grace and growth. The scriptures indicate that Jesus grew in wisdom and grace before God and men growing up in his family. And the same is true for all of us. We grow and develop our identities in our families, the families that we grow up in. And parenting, too, is a really awesome vocation and an awesome responsibility. When you have children, you pledge to be there for them for the rest of their lives. It's definitely a lifetime commitment. And you pledge to teach them how to love and how to share and how to develop Christian values and how to learn how to pray and grow in their faith. And of course, parenting involves great joys, but it also involves many challenges and great sacrifices as well. I oftentimes stand in awe and I look at parents and families and look at the sacrifices that parents make, and people talk about the sacrifices priests make, and I oftentimes say, I don't know, my ideal looks pretty good. It doesn't look so bad at all. And of course, families are messy. Who here comes from a perfectly neat and just perfect family? So Mary and Joseph aren't out there, if they were out there. But families are messy. They really are messy. We come to church all dressed up, and if we're lucky, our kids behave. But you know, we know families are messy. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect spouse. There's no perfect kid. And there's no perfect parent. Pope Francis writes in his apostolic exhortation on love in the family that neither spouse can expect the other to be perfect. I see many couples out there, so I'll repeat that. Neither spouse can expect the other to be perfect. Each must set aside all illusions and accept the other as he or she actually is, an unfinished product, needing to grow, a work in progress. So maybe at the sign of peace, if you're here with a significant other, you can maybe look and say to him or her, I'm a work in progress. Isn't that true for all of us? I thought by the time I was 73, I would be somehow complete, and I'm still very much a work in progress. And when I think of my own family that I grew up in, I half jokingly referred to it as a normally dysfunctional family. Thankfully, I always knew that my parents loved us. I knew I was loved, and my needs were provided for, and got a good education, Catholic education, and even some Jesuit schools. And I remember my mother taught me to pray. When I was a really little child, I remember kneeling by my bedside with my mother, and she taught me the guardian angel prayer. And that was very special. I remember that very vividly. But that's where my mother taught me how to pray. And that stuck with me all my life. And I knew my parents were proud of me, and that meant a lot to me to know that they were proud of me. And my brothers and I have two brothers, and I took care of our elderly parents. And we stay in touch. On Wednesday, I'll be flying to St. Louis to visit my brother Tom and his wife Susan and their children and grandchildren. And usually every summer around the 4th of July, I spend a week with my brother Jerry and his family, children and grandchildren. But my family was far from perfect. It wasn't the Waltons or the Brady Bunch or whatever the contemporary example might be. It was messy. It was far from perfect. There were dysfunctions, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for my two brothers. In the Colossians reading, St. Paul has some good advice. Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. The importance of kindness. It's so easy for us to be mean, for children to be mean to each other, for siblings to be mean, but to really try to be kind with each other in our families is important. To be patient, we need to be patient with one another. If we're works in progress, then we need to be patient with each other. We need to bear with one another, and that's so important. And we need to forgive one another. And forgiveness, I don't know how one could live in a family without the ability to forgive. And over all these, put on love. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts. And have that peace of Christ in our hearts. If we're people of faith, if we're grounded in faith, we will have that peace of Christ in our hearts. And that will really help us to be good family members, whether that be parents or children or siblings. And then also St. Paul says, be thankful. How important it is to be grateful for our families. Not to compare ourselves with others, but to be grateful for what we've been given. And St. Paul says, children, obey your parents. And for the young children here in the church, your parents deserve your obedience and your respect. They really do. When it says here to fathers, and it could be equally said to mothers, do not provoke your children so that they may not become discouraged. I know when I was a high school counselor, I remember this one teenage boy who said, no matter what I do, it's never good enough. And I thought, that was so sad. I mean, he was really trying to please his parents, but he just couldn't. And that really was a heartache for him, and he cried over that. So I'd say encourage your children to do well, but also give them a break. Give them a break. And let them know you're proud of them, too. And as I mentioned, I was a high school counselor for a number of decades, and I really feel like I learned a lot just through talking to the kids and to their parents, and I observed a lot. And so these are some suggestions I would make based on my decades of talking to teenagers and their parents. Parents, I think it's really important to say and to show your children that you love them, to say, I love you. And don't take that for granted. Sometimes people take for granted. Well, of course they know I love them. Don't take that for granted. I found that sometimes teenagers weren't that clear about that, because their parents were disciplining them and saying no and setting limits, and they weren't always clear that it came out of love. So parents, be sure you let your children know that you love them and show them that. I think it's also important, parents, to let your children know that you're proud of them. Every one of us wants our parents to be proud of us, right? And so to let your kid know, I mean, if you have a contentious teenager and they're kind of surly, I'm sure you can find something that you can be proud of. And to say you're sorry when you need to. And for the sons and daughters, and that goes for you young people out there, but it's also for us adult sons and daughters as well. It's important to say thank you. And I say this to you youngsters out there. This is kind of a newsflash. Your parents are not your servants. When they drive you around and prepare meals for you and go to your games and so on, they're not your servants. They're your parents. And they do it because they love you. So for you to say thank you is so important. And for us adults, too, it's important to thank our parents, who may be elderly at this time. And that's certainly important. My parents are deceased now, but I had a chance to thank both of them before they died, and that was important for them and for me. And sons and daughters, and for you young people, to tell your parents that you love them. Now, that usually is relatively easy for younger kids, but once you enter into middle school and high school and that age, the I love yous don't flow quite as readily. But I'll tell you, you can make your parents' day if you just say, "Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you." That can be really important. And for those of us adults, too, to let our parents know that we love them. And maybe they're in a nursing home or whatever, and maybe they're kind of surly and crabby, but we let them know that we love them. And also to be able to say, "I'm sorry," when necessary. And I would say to siblings, and I look at the youngsters again, build each other up. Look out for each other. Take care of each other. It's so important. Don't tear each other down. It's so easy for siblings to kind of, you know, be mean to each other and tear each other down or cut on each other. But build each other up. And those can be relationships for life. As I mentioned, on this week, I'm going to go visit my brother Tom. And he's 80, I'm 73, so we've been around for a long time, and we still care about each other, we still love each other, and I know we'll be there for each other. So nurture those relationships, and for those of us who are adults too, for us to be there for our siblings. And it's really sad when siblings don't talk with each other, and that happens once in a while, and that's where forgiveness might come in. Spouses, I think it's important for you to make your relationship a priority. And it's important for your kids that you make your relationship as mom and dad a priority. And don't let yourselves drift apart. Once in a while you talk to couples and just say, "We've just drifted apart." You know, why they want a divorce. "Well, we just drifted apart." Have date nights. Pray together. Share your feelings. Be intimate with each other. And say, "I love you, thank you, and I'm sorry." And also, once in a while, the previous line, "I'm a work in progress, be patient with me." And I'm not kidding. I encourage you, those of you who are here with your significant other, to say, "I'm a work in progress, be patient with me. I love you, thank you. I'm sorry for the times I've hurt you." And lastly, I want to acknowledge that there are different kinds of families today, blended families with divorced or widowed and remarried people. There are single parent families. There are gay couples. There are single people. So just to acknowledge that families come in all kinds of shapes or forms, there's that sitcom called The Modern Family. And, you know, when I get together with my brother in Connecticut in the summer, I think about the modern family. He's divorced, his wife is remarried, and they're all together, you know, the exes and the currents and the kids for both families, and they get along. So families come in all different forms. So I guess one of my main messages today on this Feast of the Holy Family is for us to be grateful for our families, to not take our families for granted. Our families are the special place where we meet God, encounter God in a special way, and where we're called to learn how to love. And I would also encourage all of us today to say to our family members, to let them know how much we love them, even if that means a phone call. So let's let our families know that we love them, that we're grateful for them, and that we really want to be there for them. So family is a great vocation. It's something we all have in one form or another. So let's not take our families for granted. Let's be grateful, and let's try to be good family members. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.